I'm going to get right into the ministry of the word today. We we'll be observing a communion at the end of the message. And if you're not able to come up or you feel uncomfortable at coming up, then Brother Larry will bring the emblems of communion back to you. And so we just want everybody that wants to participate in it, you know. Everybody that's right with God, it'll be a blessing to you. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 10. I want to talk to you about from blindness to perfect vision. Amen. So I want everybody to have 20/20. Amen. But there's people that are spiritually blind. There's people that are legally blind. And there's people that need to see Christ clearly in this day that we live in. So let's notice the word of God. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Now they came to Jericho as he went down, and as he went out of Jericho, his disciples and a great multitude of blind of people with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, arise, he is calling for you. And throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Father, I thank you for your word this morning, and I pray that your Holy Spirit, God, would just encourage and strengthen the hearts and the lives of every person this morning. God, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. From blindness to perfect vision. Quite a number of years ago, many years, and I want to admit, but I was a youth pastor at a certain church. And I remember in that service, I had preached the word of God and was giving an altar call, and a young woman was there with her boyfriend. And the boy went to church, or the man went to church, we'll call him a man, went to church, but he had a girlfriend with him. And so I remember when I preached and I gave the altar call, and I saw that God was dealing with the young woman, but she wouldn't respond to the altar call. And so I pleaded and, you know, did everything I could to get her to respond to the altar call, because I didn't feel like she was saved. But anyway, nothing worked. But that night, unbeknown to her what would happen, a blood vessel burst in her brain, and she never gained consciousness again. It was the end. She died suddenly. And the last thing that I remember that she did was to reject the call of God for her to come to Jesus. Now, I don't know. I'm not to judge to where she was at spiritually. She may have repented in her mind somewhere or another that I don't know. But anyway, she was spiritually blind that night. I know that. And so God does not want anybody to be blind spiritually. God wants people to see him as the Savior, the healer, and the giver of life. Praise the Lord. So let's look at this today, from blindness to perfect vision. What is blindness? I think it goes without having to be a rocket scientist to know that in the inability to see, that's what blindness is. But blindness inhibits ability to move in any direction without special help. Some people that are blind have a seeing eye dog. I don't know. I wonder if they're going to come up with a hearing ear dog. Anyway, many times a blind person may have a really good ear for music. It seems to trigger whatever is left of the other senses. Now, there's been many people that have played, had a great ear for music. They couldn't see, but they could play a piano or play an instrument and sing, and were powerful work that they did, even though they were blind and couldn't see physically. But in this context here, in Jesus' day, blindness meant poverty. It was a place of no hope. And no hope of ever being anything other than a beggar, blind and a beggar. It meant helplessness, man. And in that sense, people today without Christ are helpless. They may not know that they are, but they are. But here Bartimaeus would be have to be carried by friends and relatives to a place where there were people, and where people were passing by all the time. And they would have to depend upon the generosity of people to help to give them the necessities of life, food and drink. And so people would make donations to the beggars and to the other people who were disabled, and that was the way that they distributed to the poor in that day. And so here was Bartimaeus with no hope of anything except ever being a blind beggar. That was what his life would become, and that's what his life would be until the day that he died. But when it comes to blindness, what is blindness spiritually? It is the inability to see one's spiritual need. And there are a lot of people that are blind or that have perfect vision physically, but they're blind spiritually because they don't see their need for God. And so I heard of a great heart doctor one time. He said, "I've never seen a deathbed atheist." And he administered to many people on their deathbed as a surgeon. But it's the inability to see one's spiritual need. And there's a parable in Scripture that we don't hear about too much, but it's called the parable of the rich fool. Man. And so we find that in this parable, Jesus talks to the crowd, and he says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, this is Luke chapter 12, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this: I will pull down my barns and build greater, and I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So we know that this man was physically able to see, but he was spiritually blind because he didn't know that the very night when he thought he had it made, thought everything was good and his bank accounts were good and he thought his coffers would be overflowing with all kinds of money, but yet he was spiritually blind. He could not see his need for God, for he did not know that his soul would be required of him that very night and he would have nothing. And he died, as the parable goes, he died with nothing. Man. And so someone today, we'll say someone wins the lottery. You're wondering if I play it. I've never played it once. You say, "Well, you don't have any faith." No, I got common sense. Hopefully, God expects me to use it. Thinking they'll win, have millions, but after a while, those who have won, most of them go broke after a while because they just go on a spending spree and they just can't quit and then they don't have anything in the end. So the Bible tells us to lay up treasure in heaven where neither rust destroy nor where thieves do not break through and steal. Okay? To many today, many can't see that they, like all others, will face death. And who can't see their need for God. They can't see their need for repentance. They can't see their need to reconcile themselves to God, to be reconciled to God through the blood of Christ. And so it's sad when a person can't see that their need is greater than what they or humanity can produce. Because you see, there's many people that say that one day people will produce everything that we need. And there's people that claim to have the answers to all your prayers. Have the answers to everything that you've ever had in your life, and have a financial way of making things good for you, how you can get rich quick by doing this or doing that. And it's usually they want you to get rich by giving them money, and they're not rich either, and they've tried it all their lives, and all they've done is fool a few people to send them their money. Man. But the Bible tells us, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? Okay? What is blindness? Jesus came to open blind eyes, both naturally and spiritually, and he did. Wherever Jesus went, he performed miracles, signs, and wonders, powerful things, but he also taught the Word of God and the Scriptures. And he made the five loaves and two fishes turn into enough to feed a crowd of 5,000. But in doing so, he also came to preach the gospel to them, to tell them how to be saved, to tell them what they needed, that they needed repentance. He came to correct those who had gone astray by misusing the law of God. And Jesus came to do open blind eyes, which he did. He did literally here to Bartimaeus. And to give spiritual sight to see that we must follow Christ, that we must continue to follow Christ after conversion. Amen. There's many people that do not know that. They can't see. They see they need Jesus. They want to have eternal life. But they just want to add Jesus to what they already got and want to keep on living the way they are. But I want to tell you, when you're born again by the Spirit, you're delivered from the law of sin and death. You don't live the same. You don't walk the same. You don't talk the same. You live a different life. You give it all to Jesus and make a decision to turn and follow Christ. Hallelujah. So Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind, both naturally and spiritually. To give spiritual insight that we must follow Christ. For in Christ we have hope, not hope of eternal darkness, but hope of eternal light. And hope of deliverance from eternal darkness. Amen. Praise God. In Christ we have hope of spiritual direction. We can see the way to eternal life. And we as a church, in the spiritual sense, we're looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In the Old Testament, there were special things, laws set down for blind people. They were not allowed to put a stumbling block in the path that a blind person would go down, lest they would stumble. And so there's a lot of things that could be applied to today. But there are people that are spiritually blind, can't see the things that make them stumble and fall spiritually. And we need to pray the Holy Spirit reveal that to people and reveal it to us, all of us. Praise God. And so, through Christ, we can see the straight and narrow that leads to life everlasting. Let's notice also in this passage that God hears the cry of the blind. And Jesus heard Bartimaeus cry for help. No doubt there are many cries to Jesus. He was used to it. And there are many cries to God and Jesus today. But there came a cry that was different. It was a cry of faith. Amen. People of Jesus' day, they recognized his miracles. They were just wonderfully and glad about his miracles. But many of them did not recognize him as the Son of God. They did not recognize him as the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. And they surely did not recognize him as one who would come to save them from their sins. And so Jesus came, and how we see here blind Bartimaeus, when he heard that Jesus was coming by, I'm sure that he had heard the miracles of Jesus. He'd heard things. He couldn't see anything, but he'd heard that Jesus of Nazareth healed the sick, that he caused the blind to see, that he caused the deaf to hear, that he did wonderful things. They had heard of this Jesus. No doubt Bartimaeus had heard of him, and he heard that Jesus was coming his way. Amen. Though it doesn't say it in Scripture, I can imagine that he would say, Lord Jesus, please don't pass me by. I've got to have you today. Amen. And so he cried out. Verse 47, he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So he wasn't saying, Jesus, I believe you're a great teacher and just another religious leader. But he said, I believe you're the promised Son of David that's passing by. I believe the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God is passing my way. And so he had faith there that this was Jesus. He wouldn't believe Jesus was just another person. And so he cried out to Jesus. And there's a cry today. from all everybody, that payment for sin must be made. Cleansing from sin is necessary. Washing away the guilt and the shame of sin is necessary for heaven. Amen. There's a passage in Scripture that I don't... You say, Pastor, there's all kinds of passages. Yes, there are. But there's one in Romans 6 where this, that after Jesus risen from the dead and Paul the Apostle began to preach the gospel, he came to a place that was probably the most carnal place, sexually permissive place on the planet, Corinth. And God needed a church there because those people were terribly lost. And Paul went there and preached the gospel. And he preached the Christ cross to them, preached the blood of Christ, preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, how God wanted to save everybody that would. And he preached there in that place that was carnal, that was ungodly and unholy. Amen. It was the Las Vegas or the Los Angeles of the day. It was a place where everything went and nobody questioned anything that went on there. And people wore every kind of clothing you can imagine, and some of them wore none. But Paul preached, and God made disciples out of people, caused people to be saved and born again that you and I would have never accepted. Man, the people walked in the church, and I can see self-righteous people turn around and say, no, not in our church. But in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, it says, do you not know that unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Paul preached this message. Then Paul said, such were some of you, but you were washed. Hallelujah. Washed from their sins. But you were sanctified. But you are justified, declared not guilty, in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Praise God. And so we know that Jesus was preached there, Paul preached him there, and we know that the people washed away their sins and God delivered them from their sinful lifestyles. He didn't save them so they could remain what they were, but God saved them so they could turn from those things and be delivered and set free and be on their way to heaven instead of on their way to hell. Amen. He said they were washed, they were cleansed by the blood of Christ. You know, it reminds me of an Old Testament scripture, Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so those people knew what it was to be washed, to be cleansed. Amen. In the spiritual sense, by the blood of Christ. Then when the blood of Christ was through washing them, there was not the single stain of sin on their lives. They were perfectly righteous before God. And they underwent the idea of continual sanctification, which is what I believe. Amen. That we're continually sanctified by the Spirit as we walk with God day by day. Never met anybody that's totally sanctified. Met a lot of people that needed it, including myself. But we're continually sanctified as we walk with Christ and justified, declared not guilty, even though they were terribly guilty. When Christ cleansed them and they came under His righteousness, they were completely justified in the sight of God. And so there was a group there. God hears your cry today. Maybe it's not from leprosy. Maybe it's not from blindness. Amen. But it may be today that your life is just overwhelmed with many things and you don't know. But you cry out to God, God, I need your help today. Amen. And God does hear your voice, and God does respond to your cry for help, and God doesn't turn away your cry, and God hears you regardless of how many times you've cried out to Him. It seems like He doesn't hear. I want to tell you, God is not hard of hearing. And He can see everything. He knows your need. Amen. The psalmist cried out, in Psalm 61, he said, hear my cry, O Lord, and attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. God hears your cry today. Amen. There's times when I've cried out to God and said, God, I don't understand all this, but I need your help. And God was there to help. I may have not have understood everything, and I still don't understand everything, but I know I understand this, that God hears a cry for help, and that God hears you when you call upon Him. Amen. And so I would encourage you today, cry out to God for your need, and He hears. He's not deaf. Amen. He cares for us, just for you, just as much as He did blind Bartimaeus. He cares for you just as much as He did any disciple or any person you want to set on a platform and say they're a great Christian. God loves you just as much, regardless. Amen. So God hears the cry of the blind man here. And I can only imagine the loneliness that Bartimaeus experiences day by day. He would be set out by his friends or family, and he would be lonely, and he would cry of pain, and he would be lonely mentally, emotionally, physically. He would be alone, and there would be people everywhere, but he couldn't see anybody. It reminds me when Jesus came and announced the reason that He came to this earth to start with. One of my favorite scriptures, one of them. I've got a lot of favorite scriptures, as you know. But Jesus comes to the people after His temptation in the wilderness. He comes back to the people, and He cries out. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Hallelujah. Because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And the poor are people that don't know Christ, regardless of how much money they got. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. And so I believe that God wants to recover sight to the blind of people today. Amen. Not only physically, but people that can't see their way for God. That's the reason we send missionaries to the foreign fields and to the local fields, because there's many lost people in our own community. And Jesus, there's not foreign missions and home missions to God. It's just missions, because everybody needs Christ as their Savior, regardless of what country or town or place or state they live in. They need Jesus. And Jesus came to give recovering of sight to the blind and set at liberty. Amen. To give liberty or freedom to those who are oppressed. Man. So blind Bartimaeus, Jesus spoke to him and healed him. And he had 20/20 from there on. He could, for the first time, he could see trees. He could see people. He could see who was talking to him. For the first time, he could see the beauty of creation that the God that healed him had created many years ago. He could see for the first time sons and daughters and mamas. He could see children. He could see families. He could see people working. I don't believe he said, "Oh, wow, now I get everything free, and so I'll just sit down here and get everything free." No, I believe he got up and got a job and went to work. It doesn't say that he did, but I'm going to assume that. Could I get you to assume with me? Okay. And so he had 20/20, but not only did he have 20/20 vision physically, but spiritually as well, because right then he turned and followed Jesus from that point on. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. Last, let's look at blindness today. There's people who can't see their need for God. The great need today is not more money and more stuff, more fame and more power. But the great need today is a trip to the cross, where we can see where sin was dealt with. The Word of God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And Jesus willingly, graciously, and patiently poured out His soul, that every drop of blood that dripped from the tree that day would atone for the sin, would pay for the sin of whosoever will. Hallelujah. And so Satan promotes spiritual blindness. He's called the god of this age, who has blinded people that they do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glorious Christ, whose image of God, should shine on them. So we know that everything that the enemy does is to blind people to the truth. But Jesus opens the way. And there's people today that are blind and can't see their need to repent and be reconciled to God. We see one of the 12, Judas. He saw the miracles of God. He was warned against the betrayal of Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus told it in his hearing. He said, "Woe be to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be good for that man if he had never been born." Yet, for 30 pieces of silver, Judas would betray his Lord. And he would die. He would gain the world, but he would lose his soul. Judas even saw God do miracles. Saw Jesus do many miracles. As a matter of fact, he was even used by God to do miracles along with the 12 that Jesus sent out. But he was spiritually blind. Somehow or another, his eyes were never opened to the truth. And betrayal would bring what money couldn't buy. He deceived. He was blind. There's people who can't see that they're certainly going to enter eternity. There's people who see that judgment is near. There's nations that see that judgment is near, but they do nothing about it. The Bible tells us, Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. That should be a verse should be required, national requirement for every congressman and senate and Supreme Court and president should memorize. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. I wish that would be required memory for every person that enters any kind of office of any kind. Amen. I doubt if any of them heard me today, but anyway, God still said it. There's people who cannot recognize that the murder of innocent babies brings a judgment of God. There's people who can't see that they need the Almighty God to manage a world and a country. Church, we cannot fix the world. This may be what I'm going to surprise you, what I'm going to say. But God has given us the privilege here in this nation to vote. Don't pass it up. If all evangelicals would vote according to the will of God, we could run the nation. So I'm encouraging you to do your part. That's no doubt a privilege God has given us. And we can't make everyone think like we think. But we can press on and press into this God, this Jesus that died and shed his blood for our sins. I'm thinking and we can believe that he can bring spiritual light, even in physical light, to those that are blind spiritually and blind physically. And so we need to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And as we partake of communion this morning, these emblems, the crackers and the juice, they stand for the broken body of Christ and the shed blood. We know that. But we have a greater hope and a wonderful hope that God has given us. Paul said to the church at Philippi, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul said, "I can't do everything, but said I'm headed on. This Jesus that saved me and shed his blood for me, I'm going to keep on following him no matter what." As Bartimaeus continued to follow Christ after he was healed, Paul said, "I'm going to follow Christ no matter what." He said, "I'm persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor everything, things present nor things to come, shall separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." I mean, he was saved to follow. He wasn't saved to stop somewhere along the way. "I'm going to run the race." He said, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me in heaven. Not for me only, for all those that love his appearing." Praise the Lord. Amen.